God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. It's a love that bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today about a love that watches. People often assume that God is in charge of most things, but certainly not everything. What's your opinion? Are you one of those who thinks that sometimes God steps in and does something, which no one doubts is God's doing, but then you would also say, but sometimes He doesn't interfere? Be careful. If we're praying, begging, hammering at God's door for something that we think must be done, claiming that we have faith for that particular outcome, what happens when He doesn't do it? Faith is at once struck blind. I can't refrain from mentioning, once again, the great lessons that I had to learn when my first husband was killed. It was in the jungles of South America, and it was a tribe of people that had been called savages. Nobody had ever gone into their territory before. Lots of people had been praying that God would open a door. The Aucas needed to get saved, as they said. Well, if God was going to allow five men to get killed in the attempt to take the gospel to the Aucas, then surely God would have to vindicate Himself by saving the Aucas. I heard that said many times, long before another contact was made with the Aucas, which was more friendly. And I was troubled by that, because I thought to myself, and what happens to my faith if no Alka ever gets saved, even though my husband laid down his life for them? The great lesson is, my faith must rest in the character of God, not in the outcome of my prayers. Either God is in charge of everything, or He's in charge of nothing. God could not possibly be controlling the universes if He were not also controlling the atoms. The Lord of the universe would not be in charge of the galaxies if He was not also in charge of the electrons. He is in charge of the details of my life, or He is in charge of nothing at all. He is either a love that watches and that hears, or He is only a mist fumed up from men's minds. Yesterday, I mentioned a piece of news that was very disturbing. I confess that I wept. I can go for many months, probably more than a year, without shedding a tear. It's not in me to cry very much, but that time I couldn't help crying. And you know what it says in Hebrews 12:10? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. And as I sat there on the sofa with my husband Lars, we were eating breakfast at the time, and the tears were running down my face, I thought, how many times I have been dishing it out to those people on the radio. How many books have I written on God's reasons for discipline and suffering? How many times have I spoken to live audiences? What's my response in this case? God disciplines me that I may share in His holiness. He disciplines us for our good. In Ephesians 1, verses 11 and 12, it says, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. I am destined, you are destined if you believe in Jesus Christ. You have been chosen and predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. God is working out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Now back to that story of the five men in Ecuador. Last week, I found myself on a ranch in Texas with a man named Dan. And Dan wanted to talk to me about what Jim Elliott's testimony had meant in his life. And as we rode into the airport together, we talked about the mystery of God's allowing five men to be speared to death. And Dan, a lovely, clean-cut, dear young man, sat there shaking his head. And I saw the tears on his cheeks as he told me that he had been deeply influenced by Jim Elliott's life, by reading his journal. Why would God allow those five men to be speared to death? And I looked at Dan and I said, Dan, you wouldn't be reading Jim Elliott's journal if he were still alive. We wouldn't be sitting here in this car on the way to the airport if Jim Elliott were still alive. And I saw the light dawn in his eyes. God had Dan in mind, and Bill, and Joe, and Bob, and the hundreds of others who have told me that their lives have been deeply influenced by the death of five men in Ecuador. God is in charge of the details, and He's in charge of the big things. But He could not have changed those men's lives without taking the lives of five young, dedicated missionaries. And don't say to me, oh yeah, He could have done it some other way. We don't know ever what could have happened or what would have happened or might have happened. We only know what did happen in God's providence. And I was telling Dan how one very tiny thing might have actually tipped the scales when the Indians themselves were having arguments about whether or not to kill these white men. Some of them said they're trustworthy. Most of them said they weren't. They had had experience of white men coming in and exploiting them and killing them, actually using them for target practice. They had seen all sorts of dreadful things that came when the white man came into their territory, and so they had killed white men to keep them out of there. Should they kill these men who were flying a small plane over their territory and dropping very nice gifts? Some of them said, these gifts are nice. We like these people. They must be good. Let's not kill them. Others were more wary. And so the time came when the five men had moved into Alca territory. They set up a little camp quite a distance from the Alca houses. And three Indians found them there, two women, one named Guimari, a young woman about 15, one named Mintaka, an older woman, probably in her 40s, and a man by the name of Nankiwi. Well, years later, after the men were killed, I got to know those people. I know Guimari and Mintaka. Nankiwi had died by the time I got there. But I said to Guimari, when you had that friendly contact with those white men, what did you tell your people when you went back home? She said, I told them they're cannibals. And I said, Guimari, why did you say that? And she said, Onongi, which means for no reason. And she giggled when she said it. For nothing, just an idle word from a silly teenage girl. That might have tipped the scales, you know. The argument might have been settled in the minds of some of those men. Well, okay, Guimari says they are cannibals. Let's go get them. I got to talk to the five men who had done the spearing. And they confirmed my suspicions from the very beginning that they didn't kill them out of bloodthirst or hostility. They killed them because they were afraid. They said, yes, we thought they were going to eat us. And so I said to Dan, was God in control of that or not? Did Guimari's silly, idle word escape the ears of God? He knew she was going to say that before she thought it. He could have put a different idea in her head, different words in her mouth. He didn't. I speak to you today about a love that watches and that hears. Does it make you angry that God allows evil in the world? Well, of course, you're touching on one of the deep theological mysteries of all time. We don't know all the answers. We're not supposed to know the answers. We only know that the deep things belong unto God. They are not our business. But he does ask us to trust him. And he proved his love for us on the cross of Calvary. By this we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us. And we, in our turn, are to lay down our lives for each other. Do you trust him? Are you willing to offer your life unconditionally for his use, for his glory, for the life of the world? I pray that many of you will make that commitment today to the one who loves you and gave himself for you. May God bless you.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.